So I'd like to thank Dean for asking me to teach. Thank you. It's really cool to be up here with 100 of my closest friends in the room. So I'm going to teach on how we can share the word with boldness and confidence and why we can share with boldness and confidence. And that's for two simple reasons. The first one, we can speak the word boldly because of our love and compassion. We have what people need. And the second one is we can speak the word because we have a sure thing. So we're going to start with we can speak the word with boldness and confidence because of our love and compassion. So I have a question for the parents out there. Are there any parents here who, when your child was learning how to walk and they were a baby and they kept falling, you would just point and laugh at them? Anyone? Or you were like, that's just a bad baby. There's nothing we can do about that, I guess. I'm guessing probably not. You probably instructed them the best that you could, and you stayed by their side, and you caught them every time they fell, which was probably, like, a lot, and you praised them when they did a good job. People need to be loved with that kind of baby love, where you don't hesitate to teach them. You know, you see them doing something, and you're like, they need help, and I can teach them. People out there can't be expected to know anything about anything. How would they know? They're waiting for the kind of love that drives you to help them. They're waiting. And unfortunately, the adversary has usually been having his way with people their whole life until you find them. So they might not look very good. You know, they might not look like a baby. They might look more like a gremlin. Sometimes we're put off by people, and we have to remind ourselves sometimes what they've been through up until now. They're just babies that need a guiding hand. So you could go to John 8:44. We're going to start off in a dark place. Okay, John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every piece of false information in the world is from the devil, because he's the father of lies. And he's tried to put out so much lies and so much false information out there that it crowds out the word. That's always been his goal with the stuff that he pushes. He would have people to believe anything except for the truth. Any lie, anything that's not as good, and all the false that's out there leads back to him. So if we stay hidden in the world because of the lies that are out there and because of the false information, or because we don't think someone will believe the truth, then the truth stays hidden. Then we refuse to give people the option that they need to believe the word. The world needs us to speak so that they can have an option to build their life on and to renew their mind to. Otherwise, they're not going to find it anywhere else in the world. And until someone's given the option to believe, they can't do it. You could go to Romans 12. Romans 12, 2. Okay. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is finally a way out for people from the life that they've had their whole life. This ability to renew your mind and to change is people's way out. And I wanted to go through a scenario with you. So here's the scenario. You are patient zero, okay? You're the one to hear the word. And let's assume that you do this. You reap the benefits of the word in your renewed mind, and now you're the one in this world, the first person who's been transformed and continues to be transformed by this perfect and powerful word, okay? As you truly have things like peace, rest, love, joy in your life, you prove the word and the will of God in this world. That's what this verse is saying. And as you put on the word of God, you get your needs tended to by God as an individual, and you become more and more like God. As you become more and more like God, you cannot help but speak the word. Because you see patient number one and two, you see people in need. And as you become more like God, that's something you have to do something about. This is a grassroots movement. It's one by one. We reach people because of the love and compassion that helps us to see need. With tenderness in our hearts, the whole world can be changed. There's a quote by Dr. Rowe that says, if you are in the Word, you will be sharing the Word. And God cares about the Word being in you, in each one of us. This is not just for the masses, but it's each individual getting the Word that he and she needs. And just because we're on outreach this week doesn't mean we can overlook our needs, because God doesn't. It's for each person. You can go to Romans 10. It's right over there. As we put the Word on in our lives become the Word lived, like Bob talked about last night. We become the Word. And I was thinking on a plane, they always say, in case of a water landing, please put your life jacket on first before you help someone else in need. And that's the case. That's what it is with this, too. God cares about you getting the Word that you need first. He cares about each one of us. And he doesn't want us to just have the Word so that we can spread it over the world, watered down. He wants it for you to be healed, for me to be whole, for each individual in the entire world to be set free and to be saved from bondage. And how does that happen? How does each person get that chance? That's what we're going to look at now. They hear a word of the Word. That's the first thing. That's their chance to make their first change of mind. It's in Romans 10 that we're going to look at that. Romans 10, 13. It's a series of logical questions. Okay, Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, great. Then we don't really have to do anything, right? Because whoever's going to call on God's going to be saved. That's it. The work is done. Well, not exactly. How then, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? To a believer who really cares about people, this verse is kind of gut-wrenching. How are people going to call upon God if they've never heard? So let's continue. Good questions. Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So these are great questions. Man has to hear the word of God first before he's able to believe it, before he can come to a knowledge of it at all. And we can't be transformed by the word until we have it as an option to believe, as an option to choose. And the hopelessness that's in the world is absolute until they've met someone like you and someone like me. We are the answer to a hopeless world, and that's such a privilege to be that. We provide information on how to finally have peace inside of your mind, how to finally have an answer, how to finally have love, how to finally do love, and a place to finally belong. So we have to decide to get the truth out there so that men, women, and children can finally have an option, a way out, a chance to be saved for all of eternity. No one else can do it because no one else has the appointment and nobody else has the equipment to do it. It's us. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have the word of God. In Hosea 4:6, I'll just read it. The end of it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People are destroyed because they don't know what to think and they don't know what to do. How would they know? All scripture, in 2 Timothy 3:16, I'll just quote some of it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be perfect, or in other words, prepared for what's ahead. He has the right equipment. So without that, without the word then, what's a man to do? That's a good question. Think of all the times in your life that you pulled your mind together back to the word, to believe the word, and then you saw God get you out victorious. Now you imagine that again, but you don't have the word. what are you going to do? You know, you refer back in your mind to stuff that you heard at home, that you learned at school, or that you read online. Like Dorsey was talking about social media. That's what people have, and that's a dark thought, because that's absolutely nothing to go by. And that then you just kind of flail around. So that's why we speak. When we see people screwed up, we aren't disgusted by them. We're moved with compassion. And God got you out of the dark times in your life. He'll do it again. And that's what we're offering to people. There's someone out there going through the same thing that you went through, but without the word. And so we want them to have the word. We want them to have somewhere to turn to. It could be the person walking past you on the street or a random person at your job. We need people to have somewhere to turn. The harvest is always going to be plenteous, and it's misguided to ignore that. We have work to do. And you know, we're righteous no matter what we decide to do. We're good. We're saved. But other people aren't. So it does matter what we do. You could go to Luke 4:4. And we don't look at people and get really upset like, oh, they don't know what to do. We look at them and we think, I can help, because that's the truth. That's the thing to remember. It's not to just be crushed and be like, wow, that really sucks. It's, we can act. We're privileged and we're thankful that we can help. Okay, Luke 4:4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So man can't live by bread alone. They need the word. And there's a lot of stuff out there in the world that people do with boldness. Especially these days, you see a lot of people being really proud that they're sending money abroad to the wars, helping people continue to fight against each other. People work at soup kitchens, which is great. You know, they're feeding people, but it's not those things that are going to save people. And few people spend their time or donate their time speaking the word. But we have that opportunity because we have the word. So we can do that. We don't have to feel bad about not doing that other stuff, because it's not those things that are going to save people. It's the giving of answers and the giving of the word. The word has all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we can speak with boldness because of our love, knowing that we have something that will change things. I had a great talk with a believer about politics recently, which isn't something that you hear often, but it was great because they said, you know, like, I care what's going on, but it's not of much consequence to me. Because as believers, this isn't what he said, but as believers, we have the word. That's God's solution. Politics and all this other stuff is man's solution. And you could do whatever you want to partake in, great. But what I have to say about President Biden isn't going to save someone's life today. So why do we speak about it with such boldness when we have something that will? You know, we have something that's going to change someone's life today. So we should feel the pressing need to speak about that. And just, why waste our time with the rest of it? You could go to 1 John 4. That stuff, you know, it's important, but it's not going to make or break our lives. There's always going to be something going on in the world. But the word, it just stands, and it changes people's lives, and it changes our life today. 1 John 4. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You could go to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As we perfect our walk of love, we will speak with more and more boldness in this day and age, which is a really cool thing. We are like God. It says in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's how they're going to know God. It's by us loving. You go to Mark 6. love is always an active thing. You know, if we say that we love, but we just keep acting the same way, that's not love. Mark 6:31. Okay. Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they have no leisure so much as to eat. So at this time, John the Baptist had just been murdered, who was someone that Jesus Christ really cared about. He was an important guy, and he was also his cousin. And Jesus Christ was like, let's take some time apart from everyone. Okay, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. If anyone needed a selfish moment at this time, it would have been Jesus Christ and these guys. And if I was to write verse 34, I'd probably be like, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was pissed off and went back in where he came from. And that probably wouldn't have even been like so bad. They needed it. But Jesus Christ, he was tender and he saw people like God sees people. You don't think God is moved when he sees people suffering? He's not as hard as we are. God is tender, and Jesus Christ was tender here. And he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. We can have boldness and love when we speak the word because we see people in need. We see people that are in the dark, and we can let the plight of others affect us. We can feel that, and that's not wrong to do. We can be like God. He's our Father, and we take after him. So we care about people, and then we're moved to tell them the truth. In 1 John 3, you don't have to go there, but I'll read it. 1 John 3:17-18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So how would the love of God dwell in you if you withhold the word? You know, it's love. We see a need and we speak the word because we have an answer, and we should be thankful for that. At least someone has an answer. It's us, so we have, too bad for us, but we have to speak the word. And get some recklessness. You know, we can forget ourselves in our love for other people, and that's fun to do, because a life where we focus on ourselves and our needs is not that enjoyable. But a life where we see other people's needs and we do something about it is so fun, and it's just, you can truly have boldness. You can truly walk without fear if you're caring about other people, if you're looking at their lives and the outcomes there rather than your own, or our own. I don't mean that you guys need to do this and I am perfect, but if we do that and we really see the needs out there, we're going to have really exciting lives where we don't have to just be overburdened with our own things. You know, and God's word isn't embarrassing. If we were preaching about our own doctrine and our own lives, we would have something to be ashamed of, you know? But God's word is perfect, and God's the one who upholds his word, so we don't have to second guess what we speak. I thought of a great instance of witnessing to share. I learned something. I was speaking the word to someone one time. We were asking people what the greatest secret in the world was, and I learned that it's what happened to Jeffrey Epstein in his jail cell. So you learn things all the time. It's a modern-day wonder of the world. It's the greatest secret in the world. And you never know what you're going to learn when you're speaking the word to people. It's very exciting. So that's great. But it is dark out there. For people, that was what this guy was fixated on. That was his life that he was wondering about. You know, it's dark out there. People are searching, and we have the answers that they need. No unbeliever has anything better to do than to listen to you speak the word. That's the moment of their life. That's where it climaxes. Well, hopefully they listen to you, and it keeps going up. But that's the best thing that's ever happened to them. And at 12 years old, I decided this was going to be my life. I was going to really do this. And Dean, too, he said at 12 years old, he decided. So we can't look at people and decide who's old enough to believe or who looks like they're going to believe. It's just we don't know who's able to do it. Anyone could believe. We don't know their reason to believe either. Everyone has the same God-shaped hole in their life. Everyone's missing it. Everyone's needing it. So we just speak the word. We can't kid ourselves when we look at people and think, oh, they're just fine. They don't need this. Everyone needs this. Yeah. Young people, you know, don't sleep on these young people. They have the word all through them, and they walk with God. And young people, the same, don't discount the people who are older. This is like a side note from the teaching, but I just thought of it. You know, it's one body. We need to fellowship together. And when we stay with people our own age, we miss out on a lot of fellowship. So try to bless someone who isn't your age. You know, try to learn something from them or try to fellowship with them because this is one body. And for the young people, these older people aren't as old as you think they are. They're really not. You know, spend an hour with one of them and you'll be like, you have a lot more energy than I do. So, yeah, that was a side note. But this world really needs the information that we have so that they could use it like we do, so that they could bear the fruit that we do. They don't have fruit because they don't have the word. It's not any other reason. They just need the word, and we need to sow the seeds. They're babies that are tripping, and they just need to be taught so that they could grow up and have the fruit that we have. Jerry covered Isaiah 55:11, so we're not going to go there, but it talks about the word doesn't return to God void. It waters, it comes down like rain and waters where it intends to be watered. We sow and God gives the increase. It's not about who we speak to, but it's when we speak, people are going to believe the word. And Debbie Zeloff sent me this story one time of a guy, he got revelation to go speak the word at his job. So he went and he spoke the word to his coworker. And then the guy didn't believe, and the person was confused. He was like, okay, great. Like, I don't know what that was for. And then years later, he was at his church, and this guy came up to him, and he was like, I just wanted to thank you for, like, getting me here today. And the guy was like, what do you, like, I don't even know you. And he said, the guy who was at the church said, I was at work one day, and I was cleaning up a mess, like, in an aisle or something like that. And he overheard the conversation that the guy was having with his coworker, and he thought, me and my family need to get to church to hear this. So we don't know. And it changed his life forever. And that person who was walking, he didn't know for years, and you may never know. But as we speak the word, it's out there in space, and it's gonna do what God wanted it to do. The fight is on for people's lives. Do we let them die without ever having heard the word, or do we just speak it? It's a lifeline for people. And the seeds are gonna grow. If there's no seeds, then there's no yield. But if there are seeds, there's going to be yield. And it's not about the mass. You know, it's not about the 1,000 people that get in the word. It's about each single person's life who's never going to be the same again, who's never going to be as dark, who's never going to wonder where to turn for help or for love, because they know. You go to 2 Timothy 1. I struggle to drink enough water in my life, but not right now. So I should just always teach and I'll always be thirsty. That's the key. We figured it out. 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The context here is living the word loud and proud. Verse 7 is just so amazing. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have the ability to think clearly. We have the ability to love people. We have the power that we need in every situation ready to use. You know, that's incredible. And God's called us, it says in verse 9, according to his calling. It's not according to our abilities and our special skills. It's according to his own purpose and grace. So we walk in love and in a sound mind according to God's power. We can't go wrong. Go to John 13, please. Okay, John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So the nature of this whole word is that God wants people to know. You know, it's not supposed to be a secret. Love is a witness. And because you're born of the Spirit of God, you can love with the true love that no one's ever seen in the world. Unless they've seen a believer walking in the renewed mind and manifestation with love, they haven't seen it anywhere. So seeing you might be their first time. And it's not the love is love kind of love. It's not the I'm going to do something for you and you're going to respect me kind of love. It's the love that's what can I do for you today? No questions asked. And that's something that people have never seen. So that's why we're going to stand out to them. That's why they're going to be like, wow, this is something different. Okay, so we're going to transition to, we speak the word boldly because we have a sure thing and we have something to rely on while we're out there. You go to 1 Corinthians 13, please. This love is really revolutionary for most people in the world. And we've been around it for a long time. I think we're kind of used to it. You know, people walking up to you and hugging you and being, like, interested in you. That doesn't happen to a lot of people on a regular basis. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's useless without love. Okay, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, or the manifestation of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So it's pointless without love. But if we share the word in love, we can't go wrong because it says charity never faileth. We're going to keep going. Verse 8 you could go to. Charity never faileth, or the love of God never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So what would you do if you had something that you knew worked 100% of the time?
I'd do it.
We have that. You know, we have something that you can bet on. You can make a lot of money on that. Like, a good investment, I think, is like 50% of the time it's good. That's like really good. 100% of the time, this is really good. And this is going to work. So we should bet on it. We should put more investment of our time into this and more of our life force into this, you know, because it's going to pay. It's going to work out. It's going to change things in people's lives. And when we walk in love, when we speak in love, it will change someone's life every single time. That's something you can count on. And verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We can speak the word boldly because we have something that's going to hold up. People speak about all kinds of things boldly, but if it's not the word, it's not true. And those things fall flat because they're of the devil if it's not the word, ultimately. And so, you know, it says here, the greatest of these is charity. You'd think probably that believing a lot of times would be the best thing, but, you know, believing might be how you do it, but love is why. Love is the motivator, and it doesn't fail. It gets people going. It gets people interested. And we need it to do anything that's worthwhile. You can go to Isaiah 50, please. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. So even though this is the part of the teaching that's not supposed to be about love, it's supposed to be about confidence in God and having a sure thing, you can't remove love from the picture. It's here. You know, it says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He sees the guy that's weary. That's love. You know, love is paying attention and seeing the need. We can't separate it. You know, we have the power of God. We have confidence. We have the word of God. But why we do it is always going to be our concern for people. We're bold because we're concerned for people. And he has the confidence here that God works in him. God will give him the tongue of the learned. That's God working in him with the love of God to make a difference. And that's us, the right words, the right time. We can expect that every time. You could go to John 4. We're going to look at a fun record. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yeah, I tried to separate it so it's like here's the love verses and then here's the other verses where God works. But that's just, that doesn't work. It doesn't work that way because you can't take love out of it. It's the mark of the walk of a believer through the whole word. John 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. So Jesus Christ was tired, and he went to this well, and he wanted some water. He met the lady, and he was like, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So he's there, just him and the lady. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I realized this time going through this record, which I never realized before, it follows the keys of witnessing and under shepherding that Donnie talks about, where he gets the person interested first, and then when they're interested, he speaks the word. And I never really thought of it that way, but it makes sense because it's the Bible. So verse 10, she's like, already her interest is piqued. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So at this point, she should be like, what's living water? And, you know, what the heck are you talking about? Verse 11, and the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. So that's her problem, which is weird. Like, she's like, oh, you don't have a cup. It's not the living water. She's not like, what's that? She's like, but where's your bucket? From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So there it is, the promise. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. She's like, that sounds great. I don't have to do any work anymore. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Okay, this is interesting. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that says thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So we don't really know what Jesus Christ knew about her before, like what gossip he'd heard about her. But more than likely, he didn't know this. He hadn't sent a private investigator on her. I don't know if they had that at the time. But when we walk into a situation, we're prepared because we have Holy Spirit. You know, even if you don't think you've done any of the manifestations yet, you have them because you're born again, and you can do them because the Spirit works seamlessly in you. You're prepared for whatever's going to happen when you start speaking the word to someone because God is with you. And God gave him this information that he needed about the woman to get her interested, out of her own head, out of her own life, to be like, what is this? This is something different. And that's going to happen to us too. It doesn't require us to prep. You know, we could do this today. We could go to the local watering hole and have the same situation play out, or, you know, something similar where God just shows you what you need to see because he knows people's lives. You know, he knows everything. So, okay, we're going to pick it up in 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When they came out of the city, then they came out of the city and they came unto him. And then verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when you go out speaking the word, you can picture that you're there speaking the word and God is backing you up. He's providing you with the information that you need. He's giving you the ammunition to fight this fight and to reload you with what you need as you step into the action. That's when we manifest. It's not like, okay, I'm feeling a manifestation coming on. Let me go out witnessing. No, you go out witnessing and God just works in you. You have the word that you need. You might start talking and then, you know, the next thing just comes to mind and you know. We can be bold. We can be 100% knowing that we have the tool belt that we need. And we can visualize it succeeding. We can visualize speaking the word to someone and they believe and it works out. Why not picture it working out instead of picturing it being embarrassing? Because sometimes it's going to work out and it's going to change someone's life forever. Luke 12, please. And you know, we're going to try a lot of stuff that's not going to work. But it's fine. Like, who cares? You're not going to see that person again. Why not just try and be bold with it? Because you're right on. You have the word. You're not going to be wrong. Luke 12, 11. The context here is speaking the word. Luke 12, 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates, basically when you've gotten in trouble for speaking the word, and powers, taking no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So if we knew that what we had was not real and wasn't going to hold up, then we wouldn't need to have boldness. We wouldn't, you know, we shouldn't have boldness because there's nothing to back us up. We're just going to fall, right? We're going to fail. But we have real power. It says the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. That's the promise. People are bold speaking lies all the time, but we have to be bold because we speak the truth, and there's going to be power that comes through when you're speaking the truth. It's not going to fall flat in the moment that you need it. It's something real to base our lives on. You could go to Philippians 4:19, please. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, but my God shall supply all your need. That's something that you can tell people when you're witnessing. It's kind of like giving out free samples, you know. As God is, so are we in this world. We show them a little bit of who God is when we go out witnessing. You give them a little bit of love, but really what you're hoping for is that they buy the product. Because the product is that God will supply all their need. Not that you're going to. We can help them a little bit. We can show them God's care. We can show them God's love, but we don't have to supply them for the rest of their life. And that's why we can have confidence, because we're not able to do that. But God is able to do that. When you meet someone, you can say, my God shall supply all your need. He's going to do it. He's going to be there. And the goal is that we get people into God's care. Because he's not going to let the ball drop. We don't have to remind him not to let the ball drop. He's just able to do that. You know, he doesn't let people down. He's not in that business. there's keys to under shepherding, you know, that you're there and you never let go of the person you're under shepherding. But sometimes we do, because we're not going to be perfect. And the pressure isn't on us. The pressure is on God, and that's where it should remain, that we speak to someone and we get them into God's care. When you meet someone, you could say, you like what you see in me, you know, my God shall supply all your need. You could go to John 15. So we can have boldness and confidence, because it's a sure thing that we have. It's not us that we're offering to people. It's God that we're offering to people, and we know him. We know how good he's been. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So this is a sure thing. It's the word that we speak. It's not you and I. At the end of this verse, it says, if they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If they would have listened to Jesus Christ, they will listen to you speaking that same word. That's something, it's a sure thing. You know, it's not on us, and we can't connect all the dots to make the perfect outreach happen. That's God's job. Our job is just to speak the word. We didn't make up the word. But if they would have believed Jesus Christ speaking it, they're going to believe you speaking it. So we just speak it, and that's it. You could go to 2 Corinthians 9. The pressure is really not on us. We have a simple job, and we do it with boldness and confidence because we have love and because God's not going to let us down. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, which, who's that? That's God. He that ministereth seed to the sower, the seed being the word, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. As we do this thing, we don't have to worry about ourselves and about our own needs, because God does he has the concern on our behalf. He doesn't let us fall, and it's a sure thing. It's secureness all around. You know, we walk out on this word. The word is secure and true. We walk out in an uncertain world because we have spirit, and that spirit makes us secure and so that we can't fail. And then we spend our time and our resources caring for people, knowing that we have security in that area too, because God supplies as we put out what people need. So on every side, God has covered it all when we speak the word. It's just a sure life that we have. And what a thing that we have, that we're covered on every side. We have the word to walk out on. We have spirit to walk out with. There's just no going wrong as we live this way. In Romans 12:2 that we read, it says that not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we don't conform to a way of thinking or to a culture maybe, or to oppression, when we live the word, we stand out, and people are going to see that. We have to do it up, you know, live it up with love, because we have something different. We're going to be known by our love is what it says. The disciples of Jesus will be known by their love. People might see you and think, I could have that thing too, whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of people have said they went to a fellowship, they saw love, but they didn't know what it was. They knew that they wanted it. Some people, this is a quote, some people don't know they're hungry till you set food before them. And you might think that person, oh, they would never believe. Or I could never speak the word to my boss. or to that guy, whoever that guy is. But why not? Think of the God-shaped hole that they have in their life. Whether or not they've admitted it to anyone or even to themselves, why not speak the word to the president or to your best friend or to the random guy at the store? They have that gap in their life. And we don't know who's going to believe. We just look at people and we see the value that they could have, you know, young or old, whatever they look like. And for us, it's the same. However smart you are, whatever issues you have this word to stand on. It doesn't matter anything else. You could go to Luke 6, please. If people see you and the love in your heart, the word in your walk and the power, and they run away, then that tells you something. They didn't want it, but we're going to stand. You know, who cares if they didn't want it? You're standing. Good riddance to them. Okay, Luke 6, verse 22. This is a cool section. Okay, Luke 6, 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. So here, Jesus Christ had just chosen the apostles out from the disciples, and then a bunch of people came out to hear him speak, and then he healed all of their diseases. Light work, you know, just an easy day. And everyone who had unclean spirits, the spirits went out of them. It says he healed all of their diseases, just all of them. And then he goes on to speak to his people. These were the people who came out to see him. And he's explaining that because of their stand, people are going to denounce them. People are going to separate themselves from them. And people are going to tell them they're evil and they're going to try to correct them. But that they would be blessed and they should rejoice for the opposition because the reward in heaven would be great. And to keep it in perspective, you know, the prophets of old got the same treatment. So keep going, verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You know, we need to keep this all in perspective. The constant battery on the people from the outside, that on us people, for believing the word and for walking on the word, that's been coming down on truth tellers since the beginning of time. And the praise of false prophets and sellouts to the devil, you know, that's been heard resounding around the world for all time. But that's for a time. You know, that's not forever. And why do we push through? Why speak the word? Apart from the fact that it's the truth, apart from their eternal rewards, it's the love of these people. It's the love of people who need the word and who need the truth. And it's something sure. It's something secure. So we're going to keep reading. Verse 27. But I shall say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So that's why we speak, because we're merciful like God is merciful. You know, it's the love of people who don't know better, who've been tricked and who've been used. We have mercy on them to help them as God has had mercy on all of us. We speak the word despite opposition because it's a sure thing. Because millennia after millennia, the word stands in the world. The adversary has tried to stop it. He's tried to silence it. He tries to paint believers as ignorant and ridiculous, but he has not reduced the effectiveness of the word, and he can't. He hasn't been able to make it go away because it just stands as the truth for all time. It's something that we can get with and we can get behind. The world might be in denial of the word, but we are on the side of truth. We stand on the truth side. And the truth is just going to come out victorious every time. So we speak the word in love. We shut out the opposition and we shut out the noise of the whole world in order to save the people that can be saved from out of it. And I have two quotes to close. The times in which we live are more crucial than we allow ourselves to think. And if just one person stands, the word will live. Maybe it's you in your area. So to recap, we speak the word boldly because of our love and compassion, and we speak the word boldly because we have a sure thing to stand on. That's it.